From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today, John Sinkovich of Local Spins talks about the year in Michigan music.
I have been very amazed at how Michigan musicians have pulled together and released an awful lot of new music in 2020, despite the fact that they've been unable to perform, they've been unable to tour behind these new releases. Nevertheless, they've been getting their music out to their fans.
Also, the soul power of Michael and Tanya Trotter, a Michigan married couple who perform as the Warren Treaty. They have a new album, Forged in the Fires of 2020.
I wish we were doing headline shows on the road. I miss people. I miss sharing art and creating love. And this year has taught us to never, ever take it for granted.
Those stories coming up. We have lots of recommendations if you're looking for something to listen to in the waning days of the year. First, the news. Welcome to Stateside, and Merry Christmas. I'm April Baer. Today, we're revisiting my conversation with Albion natives, the Warren Treaty. The band's new album, Heartstown, provides sonic comfort for a chaotic year.
Heartstown was written and composed during a moment where we were just straight up reflecting, self-reflecting on ourselves and on our relationship and on our world.
We'll talk with the husband and wife duo, Michael and Tanya Trotter, a little later in the hour. But first, despite the pandemic that shut down almost all concerts and performances in Michigan after mid-March, artists around the state have been very busy putting out a flood of new recordings. Some of them have been inspired by COVID, and others are projects that they just intended to release in 2020, even if they ended up being somewhat delayed. Today, we're going to take a look at some of these artists turning in new stuff from all across the state. John Sinkovich is editor and publisher of Local Spins online magazine, and he sometimes talks to us about regional music. Hey, John.
Hey there. How are you doing?
I was going to ask how you are. What a year to be an arts writer.
It has been the most unusual and sometimes devastating year ever, but I have been very amazed at how Michigan musicians have pulled together and released an awful lot of new music in 2020, despite the fact that they've been unable to perform, they've been unable to tour behind these new releases, they've been unable to hold their usual album release shows, but nevertheless, they've been getting their music out to their fans.
John, how do you see people just getting by? I mean, are artists just pulling extra shifts, delivering Grubhub or, you know, buddying up with friends and, you know, moving in, you know, taking in some extra roommates? Or how do you see artists getting through this financially?
This has been a huge challenge. It depends on the artist. Some of the artists, of course, already had part-time jobs. Others who are full-time musicians certainly have been impacted on a huge basis. But, you know, they've also found ways to at least somewhat supplement their income. They've been doing a lot of live stream shows online where they have virtual tip jars that have allowed people to donate to the cause. They've also promoted their music on social media and elsewhere and inspired their fan bases through, you know, Patreon and other ways that they can stay connected and still perhaps at least earn a little money while they're going through this. And there's also some help available here and there. I just joined the board for a group called the Michigan Music Alliance, which is based in Grand Haven, Michigan. And early this year, after the pandemic set in and musicians had the rug pulled out from under them due to canceled gigs and touring, they started a donation drive and created a fund that provides grants to qualifying musicians who, you know, experienced hardship and who lost revenue due to the COVID crisis. And they ended up distributing like $40,000 to nearly 100 musicians. And they're ramping up another donation drive to replenish the fund for 2021, and we'll see what happens next year and whether or not live music and touring resumes.
I don't know what to say. I mean, on the one hand, live music is never exactly a business that people go into to make $1 million. If they do, they find out pretty fast how few people actually get to that level of income. But at the same time, this just feels like an incredibly steep price to pay for people whose work, you know, maybe they've got fans and people enjoy it. But the question is it enough to really sustain them full time when there's no touring? Do you see many people either getting out of the business or thinking about taking their lives in different directions?
I'm sure there have been discussions among a lot of musicians about which way to go in order to support themselves financially. I don't have actually heard of too many musicians who are quitting the business. their passion for the music, their passion for songwriting. And the fact is, the Michigan music scene was really in a good place before this happened. There's a lot of vibrant, great music being created across the state. And I think they were looking forward to what could have been the best year ever. And instead, they had all of this happen due to COVID. I don't think they're ready to throw in the towel. And I think a lot of people and a lot of fans who are really looking forward to seeing all of this come back are ready to support them. Those that can have been donating to the cause, whether it's a GoFundMe campaign or whether it's, you know, donating to the Michigan Music Alliance. And I think that if they can survive at least another 6 months, 9 months, things will probably get turned around. But, you know, it depends on how long this lasts. And really, it's the uncertainty and not knowing when things are going to come back that really hurts.
Right. Well, let's get to what I know is the moment that every music critic loathes, and it's the time at which they're asked to pick top five releases of the year. We asked you to narrow it down to just five records for 2020, and I know that that's a rotten thing to ask because there's a lot that you've been writing about and talking about. But tell me a little bit about some of your favorites this year.
Yeah, that's absolutely impossible. You could ask me for 10 or the top 20 and it'd still be tough. But I decided to pick at least some from different genres representing different areas of the music spectrum. And of course, there are people that were incredibly prolific this year. And let's start off with Mae Earlywine. She's known as Michigan's Songbird. She had several projects that were released in 2020. She's part of a supergroup called the Sweetwater Warblers. It also features Rachel Davis, Lindsay Liu, and now Mae DeVitri.
I sort of think of them as the rightful heirs to Stevie Nicks.
Yes, and they have this amazing sound. Their harmonies are absolutely gorgeous. They released this incredible album called The Dreams That Hold This Child in May, and then she followed that up with teaming up with Woody Goss, who many would know from Ann Arbor's Wolfpack, and she released this jazzy, soulful album called Anyway, in mid-August.
Let's take a listen. This is Days Go By.
It's the way that you walk in the room. Your heart is a beacon. Don't need a reason to love you. It's easy to do. I'm lost in your smile. It's been a while. Who knows what time is gonna do? All I know is a simple truth. I like watching the days go by with you. The sunrise found me with you. The light hit the window to outline your shadow, a picture, the way that you move. All of my places.
We actually spoke to Mae for the program this year when she released Anyway, that record with Woody Goss. And at the time, she talked to us about, of course, how this is a very difficult moment for artists, but she was really very warmed by how people have stepped up to support. Let's take a listen.
Well, it's such a hard time, you know, and when everything first hit, it was especially tricky because we had, you know, we plot out usually 6 months of work as artists. If you're touring a lot, you're looking 6 months out. And so it was pretty overwhelming to consider all of that being canceled. And I had two album releases, one with Woody and one with the Warblers, that was canceled. And that's a huge financial investment. So that was really a huge blow. And so I feel grateful. I have an incredible team, and I also am a resourceful person. And so I just started digging into what I could do and what might work. And I didn't really hit a stop button when the pandemic hit. I just thought, okay, how can I continue to use my art in the community and serve like I always have, but just in this new way? And so I didn't really stop, which I think was good actually in retro, but I just kind of kept playing. And luckily I feel so fortunate that there is a community around my art that has supported it all these years that really cares about it, because that's how I'm staying afloat right now, is the people that believe in my voice and are taking their own hard-earned dollars in their own probably economic crisis and supporting my art as a thing of value during this time. And that's just what's allowing me to keep making it.
And John, just this month, May surprised us with a holiday album.
Yeah. She released a holiday album titled A Simple Phrase, and she's got some great versions of classics like The Christmas Song and Let It Snow and Silver Bells. So she's someone that certainly has taken advantage of this downtime to create some really vibrant and very eclectic music.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost snipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up for the snow. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season. All aglow, we'll find it hard to sleep tonight.
Let's continue my conversation with John Sinkovich, editor and publisher of Local Spins Online magazine. We're talking about the music released in 2020 amidst a global pandemic and with the perseverance of Michigan artists and musicians as they made the best of a truly unprecedented year. John, tell me about a hip-hop release. I got to say, it's going to take a lot to knock Big Sean out of my rotation with Detroit 2, but anything you want to make us aware of that we might have missed this year?
Yeah, West Michigan has a great hip-hop scene. You know, we've seen a lot of great releases from artists such as Lady Ace Boogie and Collab, but the one that I really wanted to focus on happens to be a collaborative project between Rick Chime and Jay Jackson. Rick Chime's very well known. He's from the Grand Rapids area. He has now since moved out west, but he now has collaborated with Jay Jackson, a producer out of Kalamazoo that's part of the very well-respected, award-winning Last Gasp Collective. And they created an amazing new album called The Cure, which was released this fall and really was inspired by the pandemic. You know, it's amazing to hear Rick Chime's words and how it really incisively describes what's happening in this country right now. Everything from, you know, being sequestered during quarantine to just the way in which we can still support each other. And they also brought in some great guest artists from Kalamazoo like Yolanda Lavender and Xavier Bonner to really kind of ramp things up. It's one of my favorite releases of the year.
Let's play a track from that now. This is Murphy's Law, Survivors.
Am I supposed to thank a virus for this art? I feel survivor's guilt with every session that I start. The mountain of remorse with every rhyme that I record creates this suffocating force that I can no longer afford to ignore. It's a mirage though. Somehow it's still hard to dodge though. I bury it for now, then track another verse. Then track another verse. Then track another verse till the hearse comes. The ghosts of history. We're living history. Dose of history. Am I supposed to thank a virus for this art? I feel survivor's guilt with every session that I start. Ghosts of history.
Okay, let's move it on. John, next up you've got Patti Prashala. Can you tell me a little bit about her sonic orientation?
Well, I think she's a rock and roller at heart. And ask anybody around here about Patty Persilia, and I'll give you rave reviews. She's got a lot of energy. She's very versatile. She's even in a Rush tribute band, and to listen to her do some lead vocals on these Rush tunes is pretty much a lot of fun. She formed a new rock band over the past year or so called Patty Persilia and the Mayhaps, and they released their debut EP this past year called Good With Words. It's bluesy. It's classic rock inspired. I hear evidence of Pat Benatar and the Black Keys and the Pretenders and even Grace Potter rolled in there. And she's just one of those artists that never seems to stop.
You know, I took a listen to this first thing in the morning one day, and it really was absolutely the cup of coffee that I needed. We're going to play a track now called Get On My Good Side. This is Patty Persilia. Let's move it on to another female singer and someone who's definitely a favorite of ours on Stateside, Rachel Brook. She used to live in Detroit, didn't she?
She actually does have some Detroit connections. She actually grew up in northern Michigan, but she uses a lot of artists from the Detroit area for her latest album. She grew up actually playing bluegrass music. She hails from the tiny town of Lovells, Michigan, which is about an hour east of Traverse City. Her father was a banjo-playing very well-known banjo player who she toured with for years. And she's released other albums that really have this vintage country. I mean, it really speaks of this sort of throwback days of yore kind of thing with Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn and Johnny Cash. And it's stuff that really got attention early on. And now she's released a brand new album and has really gotten some more attention for what's going on. And it's great to see this because she's actually written some of this stuff, co-written it with her husband, Brooke Robbins. And it really has a wonderful Michigan twang to it. And one of the key tracks on this particular new album is called It Ain't Over Till You're Crying. And it really sounds like it could have been recorded and released in the 1950s. I absolutely love it.
It ain't over till you're crying. The last boy in line, you get to pay for ancient history. That's what you get for loving me.
To ask you about a super interesting project that was, this was new to me before you brought it up, a multi-award winning neo-soul band from Grand Rapids called Earth Radio. Tell me what they're all about.
This, if anything is a super group, this is it. It involves musicians from several different bands who got together a few years ago, a wonderful lead vocalist, a great keyboard player. Hannah Lane is the vocalist. Dutcher Snedeker plays keys. I mean, it really is a super group that really came together. And when they started playing, you couldn't even describe the kind of music they were playing. I mean, they call it neo-soul. There's a lot of prog rock involved. There's jazz. There's experimental sounds. There's funk. Even some dance-hued kind of tracks. And their latest album, Reanimate, has earned lots of radio airplay here in the Grand Rapids area. And it really has a lot of vocal effects and loops and other things. But the standout track, in my view, is Evolve, because they called on their fans and other musicians to join them and sent in their voices for what they call a virtual choir. They mixed it into the song and they included it in this video for the track that they released called Evolve. And it's just another example of sort of the cutting edge, very boundary pushing kind of music that this band is creating. It's just a spot. Pretend.
I know plenty of artists who are crowdfunding right now, but this might be the first group project that I've seen where a band actually asks their fans to get involved.
Yeah, and they actually sounded pretty darn good. This choir sounds great, considering a lot of them are just fans. Others were actually musicians and singers.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds that good because they didn't ask me to sing on it. It's really fun. Are there any other records that you feel like maybe didn't get as much attention this year that you'd like to throw a little oxygen on them?
Absolutely. There's a Grand Rapids singer-songwriter by the name of Cameron Blake that's actually gotten attention overseas for his music. He has a brand new album that's dark and yet at the same time incredibly perceptive, a very well-done album. Deerfield Run has got this southern rock feel to it. The Soods is this incredibly creative, collaborative effort where the headmaster of this particular project brings in different artists from other bands and other areas in Grand Rapids and creates this wonderful music. Jake Allen is from Northern Michigan. He used to tour with the Accidentals. He's an incredible finger-picking guitarist who creates these prog pop kind of albums, and his latest is beautiful. Bruce Madden is a veteran from around here who plays this raw-sounding blues and harmonica-based music. Pink Sky is an electronic duo here that has always done well here and really creates wonderful, wonderful sounds and even created some recent dance tracks that they released here during the pandemic. Singer-songwriter Nicholas James Thomasma is very well loved here. He created a new album. He planned to release it and have all this stuff going on behind it, as many artists did this year. There were so many artists that planned to have major tours and major release parties and couldn't do it, but they went ahead and released their music anyway. And I think in a lot of ways, fans have understood this and they've supported this. And it's great to see that there's this kind of support for Michigan's music scene.
Did you listen to The Warren Treaty, Heartstown?
It is their best album yet. I think this Americana duo from Albion, Michigan, which made a splash nationally over the last few years. I featured them for the first time at Local Spins in July of 2017. I had them on a radio show here back then. And they have done nothing but soar to the top since then. They've won awards. They moved to Nashville and recorded with some incredible artists, including on the new album, Jason Isbell. It is a wonderful piece of work, Heartstown. And if you haven't yet heard it, I demand that you go out right now and listen to this album. They are an amazing couple.
John Sinkovich, editor and publisher of Local Spins magazine, thank you so much. I know it's impossible trying to encapsulate an entire year's worth of music into one conversation, but I'd say we got it done. You take care through the rest of the year, okay?
We did. Thank you very much, and I'm very optimistic for what might be happening in 2021.
In just a moment, we're going to talk with the band that John just mentioned, Albion's The War and Treaty. But first, I want to play part of my conversation with Flint-based musician Tunde Olaniran. They spoke with us about the creative process in a moment of social upheaval and change. We have talked to so many artists who are in so many different places right now with respect to their music. Can you tell us what life looks like for you these days?
Sure. I pretty much, you know, my mother used to work in public health, as did I, and I took the pandemic really seriously from, you know, early March. So I have been pretty seriously social distancing and isolating for most of the year. And I have had to really try to adapt to, you know, connecting with people virtually and remotely. Thankfully, I kind of made my peace with the fact that I was, you know, going to be home and could, after that point, just really focused on what next, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the new single you're dropping this week. It's called WDWHI, which stands for We Don't Want to Hear It.
Yeah.
It's got such a shine on it. This beautiful, breezy exterior that is in deep contrast with some of the lyrics. Can you tell us a little bit about when you started thinking about this song?
Yeah, I was working with frequent collaborator named Steve Saputo, and I knew I was going to be heading to LA to work on some stuff with some other producers and writers, and I wanted to start a few different songs. So he and I were just in his basement in, like, you know, in Troy in a studio, and we just had this dun da dun dun da dun, like, kind of repeating chord progression, and I think I just started writing Ain't This the Life, Don't It Live Up to the Hype,
Don't It Live Up to the Hype. What more could anyone dream. Got a big TV, flat screen, big salary. I got an app that told me when to eat. I got an app that helped me go to sleep. Now what could be sweeter than the 21st century?
Just that feeling of feeling kind of not just complacent, but maybe like apathetic, maybe feeling isolated and trying to use, I guess the best word is consumption, to like feel good.
To fill the void.
Basis. Yeah, to fill the void, but to also like distract yourself when things feel overwhelming. And I think all of us have felt at some point this year overwhelmed by what is happening. I think also like the way we live is kind of very isolated now, sometimes by design. And I think it allows us to just not have a lot of unity and solidarity. So there's just all these different themes going through my mind as I wrote that. But then musically, I was thinking about like really amazing like pop records, and I was really especially thinking about Swedish pop, like Robin, for example, and
some of these
writers who have written a lot of these nostalgic pop songs, and how there was this really glorious wall of vocals. And then even the cheesier things, like, I mean, no shade at all, but like Mandy Moore, Dream, like those kinds of nostalgic pop records. So yeah, all that stuff was in my mind going into making this track. So yeah, there's a lot under the surface.
I think under other circumstances, it would be awesome and fun to say, wow, this song works on so many levels. But the levels that it can be applicable to in 2020, you know, this song could be a lens for the disproportionate impact of the COVID virus and how some communities are dealing with it. And some have not had to this point.
Exactly.
We could use this song to understand the public reckoning over racism in the wake of George Floyd's murder. There are just a huge number of people who might show up in many aspects of American life lately, ready to slip back into normal. It sounds like that's not a place you're ready to be right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of about an internal fight to not be isolated and to not be apathetic, really, at the core of the song, and recognizing that there are habits that I have that like would allow me to just completely ignore what's happening, you know, around me. And it's like a personal dialogue in some ways that I hope can apply to other people. And the song itself, the chorus is, we don't want to hear it.
We don't want to hear it, no. Leave us alone, just go to bed. We don't want the drama, we don't need the mess. But do anything for happiness. We don't want to hear it, no.
It's harsh truths that a lot of us or certain people have been able to ignore. I'm not trying to solve these problems. I'm just like, this is just a feeling. This is something that is a reality that some of us experience, or some of us watch other people have the luxury of experiencing, you know?
Mm-hmm. The lyrics speak to so many kinds of division. What's the flag on your lawn? To what religion do you belong? And then there are those subtweet lines about, you know, with the discord woven in. Maybe we've been wrong all along. We don't want to hear it. What do you think the consequences are of willful ignorance to things going on, just either in our own circles or maybe more broadly in society?
The greatest consequence is death, because people's lives are at stake and people's lives have been lost. Like, I personally lost people to COVID. But really, we are so disconnected from each other in some ways that we don't really see how much we have to lose collectively. And I think having a temporary feeling of safety because you happen to be in a zip code where, you know, there isn't environmental pollution specifically attacking you, that doesn't mean that in 10 years or less, you won't be in that same situation. So I feel like it really means, you know, if you're in Macomb, if you're in Grosse Pointe, if you're in Ann Arbor, if you're in Flint, if you're in Detroit, like, we actually need to really think about how much we have in common in order to keep us alive and sustain us collectively for like many generations to come.
We don't wanna hear it, no.
Tunde Olaniran is one of several artists who are part of the University Musical Society's Digital Artist Residency, Over the course of that residency, they'll be releasing 4 singles and inviting audiences to participate in the creative process as the music takes shape into a forthcoming full-length album. Coming up, Albion natives Michael and Tanya Trotter of the Warren Treaty. They'll tell us about their latest album, their marriage, and all the struggles of 2020. Stay with us. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Do you ever find yourself flipping through your music options, looking for that magic blend of songs that reflect the pain of 2020, but that also heal? We think we found your fix.
Can we be lovers now? Let go of the past that hunts us down. Can we finally be found in each other's arms above the ground? Can we forget the skin we're in?
Michael Trotter and Tanya Blunt Trotter are a married couple from Michigan who record and perform as the War and Treaty. Their latest record, Heartstown, doubles down on their ravishing duets and their broad musical taste. Some of the songs soar like Stax Records, others frisk and sway with the grace of Cole Porter. The Trotters are from Albion, but they're living in Nashville right now. That's where we found them this week. Michael, Tanya, welcome to Stateside. It's great to hear your voices.
So good to be here. Thank you.
You know, the record opens up with this song, which just taps an artery of romantic despair and channels it into this incredible soaring anthem.
For you to stay.
But I have to say, when I heard it, my first thought, as a person who has been married a while, as you two are, I thought, this is a grown love song.
Oh, hell yeah.
So true.
Why doesn't anybody write about couples who were in their second or third decade together?
I don't know. I think, you know, like everything, everyone just wants something new all the time. And, you know, the beautiful thing about being in something for 2 and 3 decades or a decade itself is that you're always finding something new in that person. And that's what makes it so exciting.
Would you say that that is a thread that runs through the songs on this album, you know, just being at a certain place in life?
I would definitely say so. And Ty and I, we definitely try to write from an honest place. And, well, we don't try, we do. So Heartstown was written and composed during a moment where we were just straight up reflecting, self-reflecting on ourselves and on our relationship and on our world. And that's what you have.
Right. Could you remind us the story of how you two met?
Ah, yes. Let's go ahead and argue, Tanya. Are you ready? Because here comes the argument right about now.
Well, let me start my side, and then he's going to tell his side, and then there is the truth. But we met at a love festival in Maryland, Laurel, Maryland, to be exact. And Michael was performing. I saw him on that stage performing with a friend of his, and it was amazing. And I just had to know who he was. So I darted across the field. If anyone knows me, they know I like to wear heels. They weren't red that day, but I loved, you know, that music that he was performing. And I met him, and right away I purchased, I think he had like these bootleg CDs, and I purchased like 6 of them, and I was giving them to everybody that I could on the field. And we exchanged numbers, and that was it. He came over to my house. He had never done any writing for anyone before, but I asked him if he could write for my brother and I, who was, at the time, we were working on our duet project. And Michael came back maybe the next day, and this was 2 weeks after his meeting, and he hit the entire album complete. And I was like, this is strange. And these weren't like, you know, fluffy songs. These were magical songs. And so as time went on, maybe another 2 weeks, my brother couldn't make rehearsal, and Michael started to add reference vocals to those songs. And a friend of ours heard us singing together, and that was it. That was the magic.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but if a woman will run in heels for you, you need to go for that and hold on to it.
That's important.
Tell us how you lost my number now.
Nope, we can move on.
Oh, no, you did not.
All lies. All lies.
You mentioned, you know, you said that this entire record was written, you know, that the exterior of this would suggest a relationship that is solid if going through questions, but you said that there was definitely a reflective period that came with the writing of this. Could you say more about that?
Well, just again, we just really want to make sure that we are honest in our art form and making sure that we're telling the correct story, the story that we want to tell. And for me and Tanya, it was definitely a moment of just figuring out what we want to lead with. You know, do we want to go this way or do we want to go that way with it or whatever it was? And as we continue to try to process what we were going through as a couple living in this country, one of the things that we decided to do was just be completely honest with how we felt. And that's just, you know, what you have and what you're hearing is where the road to honesty has led us. And there's more. And I'm excited about the more part, but I'm also excited about that we got this out.
So you're from Albion, but you guys are living in Nashville now. Can you fill us in on what this year has been like and just sort of what the immediate environment has had for you?
To some, it's been scary, but this year has been so eye-opening for us. And so reflective, and we were able to find the gaps in how we see things. Because you're on the road a lot, and you get burnt out, and you get tired, and you complain, and you don't want to go home. I want to be in my own bed, and I want to drive my own car, and blase, blase, and failing to realize that this life you live is a privilege, and it can be here today and gone the next. And I wish we were opening on the road. I wish we were doing headline shows on the road. I miss people. I miss watching them respond. And I miss responding to them and sharing art and creating love. And this year has taught us to never, ever take it for granted. Don't ever think that it will just always be this way and the trajectory is just up, 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 up. Because something can happen, anything can happen to where we're all on the same playing field now. We're all sitting at home wondering what's going to happen next. And I feel that in the Trotter household and in Michael and Tanya's life, one of the things that we have bunkered down and done is just examine ourselves and really be grateful and thankful that we've been able to stay afloat.
I wanted to ask about one of the songs on the record called Five More Minutes.
Leaving so soon is like we just
Will you tell us the story that led to the writing of this?
Well, we were in Albion, Michigan, and for those that don't know about the Warren Treaty, we are a family that together we are thriving through the ups and downs of PTSD. Michael is a 2-time Iraq war veteran, combat veteran, and we as a family have navigated the ups and downs of that.
Have you tasted the wine, smoked a little wisdom in the rain?
And this particular day when we were in Albion, it wasn't a good day for him. And I kind of knew it. He'd been going in and out of just depression, you know, and I could see it heading towards a more severe path. And he had made up in his mind without me knowing, without him giving any clues or saying anything, that this day was the day that he was going to try to die by suicide. And I knew that. So I called his therapist and I talked, and she said, call the police department. And I did, the Albion Police Department. And while I was waiting for them to get there, I went to talk to Michael, and I got down in a posture right in his face and on my knees. And I asked him, I said, I just need you to give me 5 more minutes. And then the police had arrived there, and they backed me with what I was asking him to do at that moment. And he had made up in his mind, Michael did at that moment, that he was going to not just give me 5 more minutes, but he was going to give himself 5 more minutes. And he did not go through with the act. So that is where that song derived from our experience and Michael's triumph through that moment.
I cannot believe that you two were able to turn such a truly hellish situation into such a hopeful and positive song. It's really beautiful.
Thank you. I it's interesting because, the time that we're all going through right now, I think that in putting that song out without us even knowing that this time would come, that's kind of the way we live our life. It's our daily, I would say, mantra. That's a famous word everybody's using now, is to keep hope alive, that in every situation, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And as long as you have someone kind of going through it with you and understanding and showing some empathy with you in that, then I think hope is always possible.
Michael, was there a conversation about what the treatment was going to be on that song?
No. We just went full speed ahead, and we wanted it to be happy. We wanted to reflect the aftermath and not the current situation.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Tanya Blunt Trotter and her husband, Michael Trotter. Their band is The War and Treaty. Your voices are so beautiful and powerful together. I there's some couples, it's not quite the same as sibling harmony, but there's some couples who, when they sing together, it's just electrifying. Could you talk a little bit about your collaborative writing process?
I wish that it was a collaborative process. But, I sent him a text message this morning because Michael is a genius. I mean, to be able to watch him work, sometimes I get stuck in the moment and I'm like, I guess I can add the word the to make, it's so amazing because he hears everything at the same time. He'll come to me with the song and he'll say, okay, here's the melody. Here's what the piano's going to do, the drums, the horns, the strings, and organ. And then now that we have the studio in the house, he'll go and make a reference of it. And I'm like, okay, so there's really nothing for me to do. But we'll go through the song to make sure I understand the lyrics. If I want to change a lyric here or there to make it, fit more or whatever, the compromise on that. But I mean, I've always said this, when you're in the presence of a teacher, your responsibility is to learn and to be a student in that. And there are just so many moments in The War and Treaty where I really am the student, regardless of the career I had before The War and Treaty. It's always a learning curve, and it's always a challenge to hear these songs. So I would definitely give all the credit of the creative side of what we do to Michael and his 6-7 song a day process. He writes so many songs. It's just amazing to be a part of this journey with him.
Michael, is that really the volume you work on?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, has it always come like that to you in such a flood?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I leave myself open to the voice of God, and God is always speaking, whether it's through nature, whether it's through the solar system, or whether it's through humanity and vegetation. He's always there, and I'm always listening. I'm ready.
Is there something about working at that pace that you think opens you up to hearing what you need to hear?
I realize that it's at that pace to others, and to me it feels like years.
Ah.
I'm so engulfed in the moment. Everything slows down. Time suspended, and I'm with what is, what can be, and what will be of this material. That's where I'm at.
Mm. There is a song on the record called Beautiful that includes a cameo by, oh, by the way, one of the most famous men in music right now, Jason Isbell.
When I looked you in your face, from your eyes fell a tear.
What does Nashville offer you in terms of musical community and people who you can connect with and sometimes collaborate with?
It has, I would say, since we've been in the pandemic, we've done something that we have not done since we were on the road a lot. We're doing a lot of writing collaborations. We did one last week with Lucy Silvas, a couple of really well-known producers with our publishing company this week. And it's just been amazing, to be able to experience and exchange energy with some of the most incredible artists and producers in this town. And to realize that even if we're unable to meet with them at their homes, we are able to Zoom and we are able to do FaceTime. So it's taught us that regardless of where we are, and we can be in Kansas City, this pandemic has opened the eyes of so many of us to realize that we can do this all day. Thank goodness for Zoom and FaceTime. So we don't really necessarily have to be in Nashville to make that happen.
Right. To that end, there's so many insanely talented musicians. Nashville's full of them, some of them session people who just never quite made it into the spotlight. How do you think you two were able to find your audience?
I think we're still finding them. Just being honest and true to who we are, people are starting to understand that this is it, that this is real. And it's hard to make music today. Because so many people, they feel like they're looking for something new. And sometimes the answer is not in something new. Sometimes the answer is in what was. And just seeing a different interpretation. Not new, but different. So we're really, just really honing in on our people. And even our peers, like Punch Brothers, Chris Thiele and Aoife Donovan and listening to like Sierra Hole or Sarah Jarosz or something like that. It's just really just expanding yourself and realizing that it's an audience of one.
Mm.
And if you love music, then you'll love it all,
Thank you two so very much. I mean, the record is just, it's medicine right now, and we appreciate your time and talking to us about it.
Thank you as well.
Thank you so much.
Jubilee, Jubilee.
Michael Trotter and Tanya Blunt Trotter are The War and Treaty. We sure are hopeful that they're in a place to tour safely at some point in 2021. Till then, their new album, Heartstown, is available online. And that's Stateside for today. I'm April Baer. Thank you so much for listening. The team here is taking a break for the holidays. We'll be back with you in the new year. For now, Merry Christmas. We wish you a very peaceful season, and we'll catch you in 2021.